I'm Lisa Austin.
And I'm Griff, and this is eBay for Business Podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow business on the world's most powerful marketplace. Welcome, Liz.
Aw, thanks, Griff. Our theme this week is employee and performance management as part of the monthly theme Business Betterment. And to that end, we'll be diving into the subtopic employee and performance management with our guest, eBay seller Jordan Inslee.
And I believe you'll be spending some time with our own Bridget Davies to talk about the Shine Award winners for 2019.
Yes, and I'm so excited about that because we have a whole new roster of winners this year, and I can't wait to have Bridget on to reveal them to our listeners.
And of course, you've got questions. We've got answers on Question Time.
Snarky answers, I hear, if you're around.
Liz, you cut me to the quick. Yes, they can be a little snarky, I suppose. But first up, let's visit with Doug with the eBay News.
Hello, Doug.
Well, 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 look who's back.
It's good to be back.
You're just going to come waltzing back in here after being gone a month?
Well, actually, it was 3.5 weeks.
Wait, did Griff send you here to make sure I don't do anything out of control?
Yes, Doug, it was all a clever ruse to keep you in control.
I suspected so. All right, where were you? Were you at the spa with Audrey?
No. You knew I was taking some time with the family.
All right, I'll let you back in my life, Alan.
Thank goodness. I'm so pleased.
All right, how was your trip?
It was really good. I went back to Ireland for a couple of weeks and saw some family and brought my son home to meet all his grandparents for the first time.
Aww.
So it was pretty special.
Very nice.
And it was nice. And I listened to the podcast while I was gone.
Good
job, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was good.
We did miss you. You were missed.
Were my fans calling for me to come back?
Yes, yes.
Five people.
Yes, and your mom. But your mom was busy hanging out with you, so our listenership in Ireland dipped slightly.
Okay, well, we'll try and get the numbers back up.
Welcome back. Thank you. Do we have to cover this week, Alan?
Well, this week we'll talk a little about eBay in the news, and then we have a special guest for the buzz.
Exciting. It is good to have you back.
Thank you, Douglas. I'm Alan.
And I'm Doug, and welcome to this special eBay Open edition of The Buzz. Let's start with some news, though.
eBay announced the launch of its summer brand outlet, a new outlet shopping destination that offers deep discounts on top brands. Shoppers can visit the online outlet at ebay.com/brandoutlet, which offers daily discounts of up to 70% off brands, including Bose, Samsung, Adidas, Rolex, Tiffany & Co., and DeWalt, all with fast and free shipping. And to celebrate the launch of the summer brand outlet, eBay is releasing Hot Deals for Hot Days, a new wave of thousands of amazing deals across every category featuring some of the lowest prices of the season.
Oh.
Our new outlet gives eBay customers amazing discounts on quality products from trusted brands they know and love, said Jay Hansen, our VP and COO of Americas. The new destination offers shoppers who love the thrill of the hunt for discounts, big savings during the prime summer shopping season across dozens of categories from electronics, apparel, shoes, accessories, health, toys, homes to appliances.
Ooh, can I do the video game, please?
Sure, you may.
I had an Atari 2600, so this is interesting.
Hopefully.
Yes. So apparently the rarest video game for the Atari 2600 is selling for $90,000 on eBay.
Ooh.
According to Hypebeast.com, Extraterrestrials, a knockoff of the critically panned E.T. the Extraterrestrial, only one extraterrestrial. So if you have one extraterrestrial, is it just terrestrial? Because more than one would be extra, right?
But he's so extra. You could have one and he could be so extra.
Yes. So anyway, this is going for $90,000 on eBay. And according to the post at Hypebeast.com, its obscurity, alongside being manufactured a year after the video game crash of 1983, which gives credence to its huge price tag, although an actual exact estimate is currently unknown. Its going price has even beaten out the previously known rarest game for the Atari 2600, Air Raid, which went for $33,000.
Wow. You just reminded me I have an E.T. teddy bear from back in the 80s when the movie first came out at home from Disney World.
Oh. One
of my family friends went over to America and bought it and brought it home to Ireland. So it was looking at me the other day and I wonder how much that would fetch on eBay.
You should check it out.
Time to do some searches.
So, but do you play any video games, Alan?
I haven't heard of E.T. I do play video games. Mostly I just play FIFA.
I just play Madden, but I have heard of the E.T. video game, and some people think E.T. killed Atari and, for a time, the video game industry itself.
Oh.
Like he came down from a ship and pointed his little finger, "Be good, Alan." By the way, can I add a little something in here, Alan?
What's ever stopped you before?
Well, you know I'm into online content, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, the blog Viral Access ran a piece on content marketing entitled Text, Video, Audio. Which one is for you?
And which is?
Well, thank you for asking. But I recommend an integrated content strategy that incorporates all three, but I'm really hot on audio right now.
Like podcasting?
Yes. But anyway, the piece goes on to say, eBay is one of the brands that has successfully integrated podcasting into their brand messaging. Many podcasts tell stories of business success, but not many focus on the process of building businesses from scratch. eBay's Selling on eBay podcast is told in a journalistic interview style and focuses on entrepreneurs who grew their business from an idea into a full-fledged company. The podcast readdresses eBay's branding message while also hints at the origins of eBay as a startup business.
Wow, so cool. Thanks, Viral Access.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. eBay Open is next week. How exciting.
I'm looking forward to it. We're doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah, the community team is there as part of the larger seller engagement booth this year. So the whole community team will be there and we'll be doing a ton with the podcast.
Yes, and Griff will actually be in the booth interviewing sellers and staff for the podcast. We'll also have a podcast contest you can learn more about at the booth. And we also might have some surprises as well. And of course, Alan and I will be there.
Hey, the boys are back in town and I like surprises.
Indeed. And speaking of surprises, Alan, eBay Open is next week at Mandalay Bay in fabulous Las Vegas, Tuesday, July 23rd to Thursday, July 25th, culminating in a fabulous party at the fantastic House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. We're talking about how to prep for eBay Open and what you need to know. There's tons of information at ebayopen.com as well as frequently asked questions at ebayopen.com/FAQ.
Thank you, Doug. And we are very lucky to have Alison Engels here with us in the studio. Alison is eBay's senior manager of events and is in charge of eBay Open. Thanks for joining us, Alison. We realize you're crazy busy.
Thanks, guys. It's crazy to think that eBay opens next week.
I know, it comes around so quickly.
Yeah.
But probably for you, you've been planning it for a long time.
Yeah. Planning takes all year, pretty much. We take the learnings from last year, apply them to this year and start the planning right away.
Yeah, bigger and better every year.
Yeah.
It's always the way. Always great feedback from sellers. And what's new this year?
Well, year over year, you know, we've always heard that sellers want to hear from other sellers. So we're creating more seller panels and more ways to network and share with one another. We also have some exciting announcements to share and deeper ways to engage and learn to grow your business.
Okay. And what are the basics to prepare?
Walking shoes, you know, it's Vegas and those hotels are large.
They are.
I would say bring your cell phone so that you can use our event app. And if you're going outside, sunscreen and a hat for sure. And bring your party clothes. Thursday night's party's theme is Throwback Thursday. So whether your favorite decade is the 70s, 80s or 90s, come dressed to impress.
Okay. So Doug, you can wear your Morrissey shirt.
Just like every day.
Yes.
So tell us about the BizBoost section of eBay Open and how that's going to work.
Yes, the BizBoost space is always popular. This is where you can get your one-on-one time with our merchant support team. They can look up your account and give you customized recommendations on ways to improve your listings and increase your velocity. We have a certain number of appointments available to book before the event, which you should have received an email about. And there's also appointments available to book on-site at the event. So just see the BizBoost space in the expo hall.
Definitely recommend all sellers to get their account checked and get some tips and advice from our specialists to help grow their business.
For sure.
Tell us a little bit about this year's sponsors.
We have about 20 sponsors that will be set up in our expo hall to talk to you about what they can offer your business. And our title sponsor, Chubb Insurance, be sure to check out their workshops and pop-ups to hear more about what they offer our sellers.
Okay. How hot is it going to be? Sellers need to plan for the heat. Any tips?
Well, it's always hot in Vegas in the summertime, especially. So bring your sunscreen and hat, like I said, if you're going to be going outside. But this year, we have all of our events taking place within Mandalay Bay. So if you want to avoid going outside like I do, you can just stay inside. The conference center always gets chilly, so make sure to bring a light sweater if you'd like.
Yeah, and then at the end of the day, you can relax. You can go and take a dip in the pool.
Exactly.
And, have a drink in the evening. So it's a busy day, but definitely make sure check out the pool at nighttime. That's my tip to kind of de-stress after the long day.
Night swimming with Alan.
So there's an eBay Open app, Alison. Where and when can that be found?
You should have received an email with information on how to download the app. If you haven't, please send sellerevents@ebay.com an email and we'll send that your way. The app should have everything you need, agenda, maps, speaker information, and more. So make sure to download it and enable sharing so that you can start networking with other sellers.
Very cool. Very cool. I'll go and download it right now. And as far as food and beverages, what's provided?
Tuesday, we're going to have a welcome reception with drinks and appetizers. Wednesday, we're going to have breakfast, lunch, and a happy hour, nice. As well as snack breaks throughout the day. And Thursday, we'll do breakfast and lunch, snack breaks, and at the party, we'll have dinner there as well.
Lovely. So it sounds like attendees will not go hungry.
No, not
always,
at all.
There's always lots of food, and yeah, you need it when you're walking around burning off all those calories. So looking forward to it. The food's always a high point of eBay Open.
Yes.
In my humble opinion.
The calories don't count.
That's it. You mentioned the app and kind of the agenda been on the app, but any other tips or kind of best practice advice you've learned for sellers on how they should plan their schedule to get the most out of Open?
I suggest taking a look at the full agenda that we have on our website. It'll be in the app and in the conference guide as well. I would suggest looking at each of the time blocks and choosing what you want to attend at that time. A couple of important notes to mention about workshops. Entry into workshops are first come, first serve, so arrive early. With the exception of a few, most workshops will repeat. So if you miss it on Wednesday, you'll likely be able to catch it on Thursday. And you're only able to attend a total of 10 workshops. All of them will be posted online after. So if you miss one, not a biggie. It'll be online.
Nice. Nice. So there will be workshops, pop-ups, and panels. So maybe could you tell us a bit about the difference between them?
Workshops are 45 minutes long. They're kind of a deep dive into certain topics. A portion of our workshops are also seller panels. This is where you're going to get a chance to hear from some of our top sellers and your peers. Then we have pop-ups that are designed to be more intimate sessions and allow more Q&A.
Okay. And for those who can't attend, how can they participate? So I know that we'll be doing some stuff in the community booth and the eBay for Business. We'll be doing some live casting as well. What else can be expected for those unlucky enough not to be attending?
I suggest following the eBay Business Facebook page, the hashtag eBayOpen2019 for all the latest. And we'll be filming and posting the sessions online. So keep your eye out for those in early August.
Okay. So you won't miss out. Wonderful. Nope. And yeah, we're encouraging all sellers and everyone in attendance to post on social using the hashtag eBayOpen2019. So if you're at home, you can follow along the hashtag on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and see all the latest and greatest photos coming in from the event. A change this year is that sellers will be voting for the Small Business of the Year award right at the event. So could you tell us a bit how that will work?
We launched our voting phase of Shine Awards on July 15th. Attendees at Open will also get the extra chance to vote for the Small Business of the Year. And the announcement of the award will be on Thursday, July 25th on our main stage at the event.
Oh, nice. And always a highlight of the eBay Open Week is the wrap-up party. And this year it's taking place in the House of Blues. Tell us a little bit more about the party this year.
Yeah. As I mentioned, we're going with a throwback Thursday theme. So whether your favorite decade's the 70s, 80s, or 90s, we'll have your era covered with classic tunes, retro snacks, and cool photo opportunities. While we don't require it, we do encourage costumes to match your favorite era.
Awesome.
Come dressed to impress.
Oh, nice.
Radical.
Oh, I've got to start. I've got a week to order something. Yeah. Better get on, get it fast and free. Get it done.
That's right.
And Allison, can guests go to the Thursday closing party at the House of Blues?
Yeah, we'll have a limited number of tickets available, purchase of $100. Those are going to be available at the registration desk on Wednesday from noon to 4 p.m. So come and get them if you'd like to bring a guest.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm very excited. Doug looks pretty excited.
I am excited.
I know everyone here at eBay HQ is very excited. Anything else before we let you go that you would like to add?
Well, you know, we've worked hard on this event and we can't wait for the sellers to learn and grow and have fun during it. I'm excited.
Okay. Well, thank you, Allison. Thanks for joining us and thanks for all the hard work that goes into planning and executing eBay Open. I know it's probably giving you sleepless nights, but it's just around the corner. So we can't wait to see it and get to hang out and meet with all of our seller friends. We've been joined by Allison Engels, eBay Senior Manager of Events. Get all of the information you need at ebayopen.com and take a look at the frequently asked questions at ebayopen.com/FAQ.
Welcome back, Alan.
Thank you, Doug. Coming up next, Liz Austin and Bridget Davies reveal this year's 2019 Shine Award winners.
Hi, it's Liz Austin and welcome to the podcast. Today, we've got a really special guest joining us, Bridget Davies, who actually hasn't joined us on the podcast before, but I'm sure many of you met her at our local eBay upfronts that we've been running around the nation. Bridget, welcome. Can you quickly tell us about your role here at eBay and what you're in charge of delivering for our customers?
I'm responsible for driving seller and revenue growth. I have the pleasure of taking products like promoted listings to market.
Brilliant. Well, I know that we're not here today to talk about that specifically because we've got you here to talk about something that is very near and dear to our hearts.
the Shine Awards 2019.
I'm so excited. It's one of the most inspiring parts of my role here at eBay. You know, no matter how deep I get in my work at eBay, it's humbling to hear the phenomenal stories of our small businesses making it happen on eBay. Because, you know, we're nothing without our sellers. You are the lifeblood of our marketplace. And to hear the stories of your business, your entrepreneurial spirit, your grit, it makes it all worthwhile. And the fact that we have the Shine Awards just for you and ask our community to vote for the shining stars is a testament to how dedicated we are to you and your success. After all, your success is ours.
Absolutely. Can't agree more about that. To give everyone an update, last time we chatted about the Shine Awards on the podcast was when we were asking our sellers to submit their stories to be considered. So where are we now in the Shine Awards journey?
We are at the community voting stage, which for me is the most important. We're asking the eBay community to nominate this year's Small Business of the Year. It's a little different than last year. We've read thousands of submissions. Honestly, thousands of submissions.
Amazing.
Which is in itself worth congratulating.
For sure.
Thank you, sellers, for taking the time to tell us your stories. We are blown away by them all. We know it takes time to think about and do these submissions, so we really, really thank you. And from the thousands of stories, we have selected eight that really stood out to us as incredible small business success stories. So I'm here to tell you about the eight winners we've chosen, so the seller community can then choose the Small Business of the Year, the grand prize winner, and then the follow-up winners from the eight we choose. We've done our bit, and now we're asking you all to make the biggest decision, crowning the Small Business of the Year for 2019.
Woohoo!
Right?
Absolutely. And I want to think of that because I was in the room reading these submissions. And I was blown away by the stories I read. And I'm so lucky at the moment to be going out and filming some of the sellers' stories where
totally.
We go into sellers' businesses and film how they're making it happen on eBay. As you say, it's super humbling. Don't leave us hanging. Tell us about the eight winners.
All right. First up, Todd Halata from Blaine, Maine. Combining a can-do attitude with his corporate background, Todd turned his passion for sports cards into a full-time eBay top-selling business. Second up, Sahil Kumar from Raleigh, North Carolina. Sahil applied his entrepreneurial spirit to form a successful electronic device business on eBay, all while employing women trying to re-enter the workforce. Third up, Clara Janine LaSalle from Acampo, California. With a challenging start to her life, Janine is no stranger to adversity. She turned a failed business into an eBay success store, all while putting her four kids through college. Number four, John McCree from Hermitage, Pennsylvania. To reinvigorate his family's 100-year-old retail brand, John turned to an e-commerce on eBay to give his family business and the local economy a sweet boost. Number five is Elijah McCloskey from Madison, Wisconsin. Inspired by the power of community, bike seller Elijah dedicates his time to providing accessible transportation to all while teaching others how to make a living on eBay. Number six, Jody Rosenbaum from Waltham, Massachusetts. For over 15 years, Jody has empowered at-risk young people to take charge of their lives by taking charge of a now $4 million book-selling business.
Amazing.
Number seven, Dove Schreiber from Brooklyn, New York. Swapping a biology degree for a passion in eyewear, solopreneur Dove grew his global business in just 5 years, selling frames to more than 100 countries. And last but certainly not least, number eight is Nanette Zupan from San Pedro, California. Longtime eBay seller Nanette is adept at shifting business strategies. By sourcing vintage items locally, she's addressing customers' needs and reducing her carbon footprint.
Wow, they all sound amazing. So what happens next?
All their stories are on ebayopen.com/shineawards. Go watch their stories on video or read their bios and vote daily between the 15th to the 25th of July. You can vote up to 3 times per day online.
Okay.
And then we will be announcing the Small Business of the Year and runner-up prizes at eBay Open July 25th in a special celebration. Another change this year is that we'll be taking live voting at eBay Open. So those attending, and I hear we sold out super quickly this year, so I'm sorry if you're not making it, you can vote at a booth at eBay Open. But for those not attending, be sure to visit ebayopen.com/shineawards. And vote as many times as you can for the sellers who you think have an amazing story and exemplify true grit and tenacity. We'll also be covering the events on eBay for Business Facebook, so follow along there.
Okay, so that all sounds pretty straightforward to me. I can't wait to go and watch those videos. Thanks, Bridget, so much for coming in and joining us.
You're so welcome.
To talk through all of this. It is definitely, I have to say, favorite part of my job. I can't wait to hear who the community chooses as well. So as you said, we've done our bit. We've chosen who we think are rocking stars, and now it's on the community to say who they think should win the Small Business of the Year. And so step up. And as Hawa, one of our past Shine winners, says, all it takes is a minute to make a lifetime of a difference for a small business. So get on there, watch the videos, and tell us who you think is the Small Business of the Year. Again, that URL is ebayopen.com/shineawards. Thanks, Bridget, again. Lovely to have you in the studio.
So good to be here. Thank you.
Welcome to the segment we call The Main Story, and today we're here with longtime seller Jordan Inslee of QuickShip Electronics. We're going to discuss employees and performance management. Welcome to the show, Jordan.
Good to see you. How are you?
So tell our listeners how long you've been selling on eBay.
It's actually coming up on our 13th year here pretty quick.
Yikes, 13. If that was a child, he'd be going off to high school.
It's getting pretty scary. Right.
And we can pretty much figure it out from the name, but what is it you sell?
We sell consumer electronics.
And how did you get started selling on eBay, if you don't mind me asking?
Kind of the helicopter view was back in New York City trying to figure out how I'm going to make rent. At the end of the day, we started buying stuff from Circuit City, of all things.
I remember them.
I know. They used to be on the site many years ago. Also in the Craigslist boom, was buying all this product on Craigslist from Circuit City. Was in the sports memorabilia business, so was selling autographed baseballs and stuff like that.
Very different than electronics.
Very different, but that's what I grew up with. So if you think about baseball card collecting, sports memorabilia, that was right in my wheelhouse.
Why the jump to electronics? How did that work?
So it was right in the middle of the whole Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire steroid era.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
So all of a sudden, sales of that business were really uncertain.
It had that much of an impact on sports memorabilia?
Absolutely. Yeah, wow. I mean, you used to see a Mark McGuire rookie card sell for, you know, $500,000. After that whole mess, I mean, you couldn't give them away.
Wow. Okay, that makes it so you look for other products.
Yeah, you know, rent was expensive for a little 1.5-bedroom place back then. It was $3,200, $3,300 a month.
In New York City.
In New York, yeah. Still miss it every day. I'm determined to move back there.
To Manhattan?
Absolutely.
Where in Manhattan?
Upper East Side.
Where on the Upper East Side?
95th and 3rd.
Know it well.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think you'll find the rents didn't go down.
They didn't. They only went up. I was there a couple weeks ago visiting eBay and, you know, went back to the old stomping ground.
So right now you're located up in the Northwest.
I'm located in airplanes and hotels, but Seattle, that's still Seattle. Where I reside.
Right. Well, if you have to live in an airplane, you're close to Boeing. So. Yeah,
something like that.
You're in electronics. You've grown your business to a certain size. How many employees do you have?
Today, we have about 55 between two locations.
Where's the other location?
Indianapolis.
Okay, so that's a lot of employees. Over time, how fast did that happen? I mean, you started out as a single proprietor, I'm assuming.
Yep.
And do you remember when you hired your first employee?
Oh, I do. I do. So the business actually originally started in 2006. I had what I thought was a business partner, but soon to find out after a couple of years of doing things, I actually wasn't a partner. I was an employee.
What?
Yeah, not
and
a lot of people.
This was your business.
Well, I thought it was my business. I knew the person that I had gotten the business with.
Right.
And it was about August of 2008, right after eBay opened eBay Live back then.
In Chicago.
In Chicago. Yeah. It was the last one. Came back to Seattle, had a vision of where I wanted to bring the company. Unfortunately, we didn't have the same vision. So it ended out the August of 2008. That was my last week working for that person.
Oh, dear.
And I found out very quickly I was an employee and not a partner.
That must have been devastating because it's not the same equity.
It's not the same equity, but you know, I was still doing really well back then.
Yeah.
I was compensated very fairly. I was compensated like I was a partner.
Right.
But ultimately, you know, the first week of the stock market crash, that was my first week in business.
That's right. It was 2008.
It was.
So what happened? I mean, what went through your mind? And did you have a plan or were you overwhelmed?
I was overwhelmed. But at the same time, I think what's very different about me is I live a good life. I like nice things. But I also just don't go and blow money to blow money. I'm kind of a minimalist.
Good.
You know, when I have that lifestyle, I'm not always going out there and just, hey, I'm going to go blow my money on this or blow my money on that. First week of business, I literally started out of a 3-car garage. And soon realized that the business that we were doing out of that garage wasn't going to last.
Why?
Space. Space, you know, inventory. Product was coming in. How are we going to grow this?
No place to put it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. We wanted to grow. We had ambition. And that was part of the reason that things didn't work out with the previous partner slash boss is I was ready to, you know, really try and grow the business and do something with it. 2009, 2010, We ended up getting into our first warehouse. It was a couple thousand square feet, you know, really tiny.
Is this in the Northeast?
Northwest, in Seattle.
Obviously Northwest, yep. Yeah, sorry.
So up in Seattle, within like a year or so, not big enough. So we had then moved to a 6,000 or 8,000 square foot warehouse, then started to get to know some of these people that own the warehouses, and we kind of moved over the next 3 or 4 years a couple of times. And ultimately today, we are in Woodinville with a 17,000 square foot warehouse in Indiana with a 17,000 square foot warehouse.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm making the assumption that as you expand exponentially into space, that's when you start needing to hire more employees.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So when I was in the garage, going back to those days, there was a couple of people, a long-term eBay partner with shipping, ShipRush.
Oh, yeah, ShipRush. We know them.
Yeah. So Raf, we used to use ShipRush before we kind of built everything ourselves. And Raf had actually, you can go on YouTube and see the video. It's kind of funny. I made a quick cameo at the end of it. You can see the two people that we had back working in the garage back in the day.
And this was back in 2008.
Yeah, 2009.
At 2009. Okay.
Yeah, it was late 2008 when the whole split had happened. So 2009, that's when we started to really get employees. I think by 2009, 2010, I think we were up to about a dozen people.
A dozen?
Yeah.
It almost, not quite exponential, but almost as fast a rate.
It seems like when you get bigger space, there's more people that you have to make things happen with. Processes, additional product, additional headcount, additional responsibilities. Today, it's kind of funny, being our 13th year anniversary is coming up right now. I always kind of go back and reference like the good old days, you know, when things were easy and just you wanted to get something done. Someone makes a phone call. Okay, it's done. Now it's all those check boxes.
No. Yeah, I tend to do that with eBay as well. So, although we tend to glorify and idealize the past, but there were some things about it that if we were to revisit, we would say, no, I don't want to go back to that. But
there was the, you know, I'll always have my nostalgic days of eBay.
Nostalgia. Oh, well, eBay. Yeah. I mean, on a business sense.
Oh, sure.
It was hard back then. But so at a point, now you're growing, and I assume in the beginning, you're the boss.
I think so.
Yeah. It's hard to say after that first encounter with the partner, but you're the boss of this second company, and it's growing. You're managing the employees.
Mm-hmm.
At what point? I mean, I can't imagine. Are you still managing 55 employees, or is this now passed on to someone else?
No, there's operations folks. There's, you know, senior level management. There's what we consider leads. So
sure, yeah.
People that are leading their division. We have a receiving area, kitting area, grading area, shipping, customer service. That's what's super unique in customer service. We actually still have 24-hour a day, 7-day a week customer service.
Just a part of those, that team is dedicated to that.
Exactly.
All right. So are you still hiring?
Yes and no. We love our people. We love our employees. What's also super unique about our platform and our businesses is we've invested a lot in software development that's helped our business scale. We kind of take, you know, this is the next big bet. This is the thing that we need to focus on. This is the thing that we need to be a little leaner on. We don't go and let people go. You know, but at the same time, if all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, business does transition. People get new jobs. People move. As that happens, what we find is, well, trying to backfill their position, it's kind of a reorg a little bit, but we also continue to innovate. Our platform will have these new capacities that will come out. And when we do that, it will help kind of offset some of those roles.
I would also assume that if you're in a position where you're hiring a lot of employees and you get to the point where somebody else takes over that job of hiring and recruiting and then training, up until that point, if you're actively involved in it, and you were, right?
Yes and no.
But you were involved enough so that you could observe what went right and maybe the things that didn't work out as much.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you think about our sellers that are listening, there's a lot of sellers that we know, and I'm sure you've met these people, who are overworked, but it's impossible for them to consider in hiring someone. It's just too overwhelming, or they can't delegate. We're looking for advice, Jordan, because you've been through this. So
that's where all the gray hair comes from.
Right. What would you tell a seller in that situation, assuming they're asking for your advice?
Yeah. So that's the first thing. Sellers have to understand that if they're going to grow their business, you can't do everything yourself.
You can't, right.
You know, I used to sit there and back when, you know, the first iPhones came out, you know, you could have emails on your phone. I would be sitting around the clock. I would never get anything done because a customer service email would have my fingerprints all over it. And then when product would come in and you would try and receive it and, you know, you would try and make sure that everything was there that was supposed to be there. People are smart. You've just got to find the right people for the right position. And your gut's going to tell you if they're the right person.
So was it difficult for you to actually do that, start that delegating in the beginning?
Oh, absolutely. Letting go was one of the toughest things you could ever do.
Oh, it makes me feel so good hearing you say that.
but you know, there's a lot of businesses and business owners that I've been able to meet over the last couple of years. Mm. And that, I think, is the biggest problem is I go in now having the business that we do. And you just kind of go in and it's like, okay, well, they haven't hit that checkbox yet. Okay, well, they haven't hit that checkbox. They're not doing that either.
So you're still watching.
So I'm not saying about my business. I'm talking about other businesses.
Oh, other businesses.
Yeah,
sorry.
Other businesses.
Yeah.
So, but I still watch every day. You know, I still watch our metrics. I still want to know what's going on.
Sure.
I still want to make sure that, you know, we're striving for the best.
And if you're not having to put your attention in places like employee management, you have the time to actually do with what's important, which is to actually manage the business from the top.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You got to get the right people in the right places. You know, you've got to get a good operations manager. You've got to get a good team that really cares. Like they're invested. This is not just, hey, I'm here to punch in the clock and here to punch out. They're truly there to not only earn their paycheck, but, you know, also, you know, get it, collect it.
You know, every business, it's said, it's kind of a business Bible truism is that every corporation or every business, their culture is basically driven by their founder or their current leader. One of the great things about working at eBay, by the way, and I'm sure you've seen this because you've been inside the company on many occasions, is that it's a great culture here. People get along. It's a really fun place to work. But there are stories about places in the Valley, especially, but all across the world and across the country, where culture is not so great.
Sure.
And people come out of there and they have terrible stories to tell. How important is that corporate culture and that employee culture for you and your business? And what do you do to foster it?
So culture is key. It's finding, and I'll say this, kind of walking that fine line. We're a bunch of weirdos. Like we just kind of do our thing.
Sure.
Yeah. And we all kind of mesh and we all kind of have that same vibe. I think that once you find what your core group of people is, as long as that core group of people is helping the business grow and they're not trying to be an expert in something that they're not, then ultimately you'll be in a good spot to understand when you hire those new people, if they're the right fit. If they're not the right fit, they start to stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, they don't last.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. Or they start doing things that, you know, you just got to kind of pull the Band-Aid pretty quick.
I can't make the assumption about your company's current status with this. And have you reached the stage where you actually provide equity of some sort to employees when they come in?
So we have not had to walk down that road. We've recently been making some changes to our business. Mm-hmm. And something, Griff, I don't even think that you know at this point, but we've actually split up our company into two. So we now actually have a retail part of our business, which is QuickShip. And then we also have a software part of our business, which is going to, you know, try and work at helping other sellers and businesses succeed and scale.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah, that's smart.
We've invested enough into it at this point that, you know, we feel like we know what the, you know, the magic pixie dust looks like. And
right.
if you can, you know, we don't want to go out there and be a, you know, a Me Too movement and be like, hey, here's a platform to list your stuff. But, you know, some strategy that's kind of driven behind that.
Is the idea of going public someday, somewhere in your future, is that a dream you have, or are you happy with a private ownership and just growing in that way? Has anyone ever asked you that?
You know, that's a question I have not heard for a while, to be honest. Yeah. It's not off the table. I would say that we're making a lot of those decisions kind of early on with the software venture.
Yeah.
That we're setting things up the right way for success.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. You're in a situation like, I assume you're going to eBay Open.
I am.
So you'll be there. You're gonna meet some sellers. I guarantee you after this podcast comes out, there are going to be sellers go, oh, I heard you on that podcast. You know a lot about this. I want to expand my business. I want to hire employees. Help me. What advice do you have? How do I get beyond where I am now? How do I make that first step? I'm lost. Help me, Jordan. You're going to hear this, by the way.
Yeah, no.
It'll be me saying it.
Next on stage. No. Yeah. So I think what you need to do, you know, so one of the things that I've always thought about, we hire a lot of, you know, talent, a lot of software development, a lot of people within our organization. You look at the price tag that comes with that individual, you have to quantify. Well, what are you truly going to get out of them as an employee?
Sure.
And if you think about, you know, let's just say that it's a six-figure employee for the right person. What does that truly look like over a six-month or a 90-day window? If you can find a good operations person, if it doesn't work out, maybe you bring them on as a contractor at the gate.
Mm.
Maybe you bring them on for 90 days or 6 months.
Which is a common practice now.
Absolutely. Yeah. See if they're going to mesh with the team. See if the team's going to mesh with them. The last thing you want is employee churn. if you, you know, get the right person in there that really does take the responsibility, you'll know. If they come in and they're just sitting on their, you know, behind their desk and hitting keys on the keyboard, you'll see that too.
You'll see it in your bottom line.
Absolutely.
Because employees are expensive.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the biggest driving costs nowadays. Labor.
So when you hire someone and you're looking at the cost and you're managing it over a period of time, observing and tracking it to see how it's working, is there a curve through time that you're expecting? Maybe not next week. I'm not going to see any real results. How long in your experience does it take to reasonably expect the hiring of an employee to actually reflect in your bottom line?
I think that that's a little bit more of a long-term focus. As far as when, you know, going back to the example I just mentioned, if you were to get the right operations person, think about it as a 90-day or a six-month window. And if you split that cost up and you split their salary in half, that's what you have to understand. You know, let's use some really simple math at this point.
Sure.
And say someone's going to cost you 90 grand or $100,000. Well, if you think about that, it's a little easier to swallow $45,000 or $50,000 over a six-month window.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So if you have that mindset of, okay, well, I'm going to bring in so-and-so, and if they're not cutting it, we'll have to make some changes. But it's a lot easier from a mindset perspective to make sure that you're setting yourself up for success that way than thinking about this big number that it's like, oh man, I can't let that number go. You know, I want to be involved in all that different stuff.
Right. So part of the plan is to have a long-term goal for the effectiveness of a hire.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what we do even at eBay. There's evaluation periods every year.
Sure.
But they're every year now, so that if you're hired on, you're... People watch. We want to make sure that you're being productive, right?
Sure.
And that's in any company. But are you contributing to the bottom line? We'll know in a quarter, a year, a half a year.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can, it always doesn't come down to numbers as well.
Hmm.
If you get the right operations person in there and someone's currently listing this amount of products or they're shipping this amount of products, obviously there's a lot of different KPIs. There's a lot of different metrics.
That's true. KPI being...
Key performance index.
We have to define our acronyms.
Yeah, that's true. If you think about that, if you think about somebody coming on board, and as they're coming on board, they might not just be doing their key role, but if they're also able to help and say, wow, if we were able to ship this way, and if we were able to save a few dollars doing this, and if we were able to increase the productivity of so-and-so. It's not always all about what is the bottom line look like, because it's also all those other little buckets that you might not understand by just looking at numbers.
Yeah. This has been a great segment. I'm really glad that you were able to take some time while you're visiting eBay to stop by and talk about this. This has to be, when I talk to sellers, this particular topic, when it comes to delegation and planning out hiring their first employee, whether it's part-time or if he's a member of family, people just freeze up.
Sure.
They think, I can't afford it. I can't do it. My business will crash. Well, I have to pay them.
Take the leap.
And you heard it from somebody who knows, Jordan Inslee of QuickShip Electronics. Jordan, thanks so much for stopping by.
Good to see you, Griff. Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment. Coming up next, wait and see. Don't go away. This week, instead of an inside eBay segment, we have two, count them, two main stories. We figured you've heard enough about things from the eBay employee side, plus we have two great guests. You've just heard one of them. And now our second guest is here. He's a good friend, Joey Ruffalo, and he's an eBay seller, and here's the point, he's a financial coach, and he's at jrfinancialcoaching.com. And we'll mention that again during the segment here. And we're talking about small business employees and performance management. Welcome back, Joey.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to speak with you guys.
For our listeners who are not familiar with you, tell us how long you've been on eBay and what you sell.
We've been on eBay since 2000, off and on, full-time, not on, part-time. Or we started selling back in the day sports cards and sports memorabilia. Since 2016, 2017, we've been full-time selling clothing, media, plush, you name it. Of course, still sports cards.
So besides selling on eBay, you have another career. Tell us.
I'm a financial coach as well.
Does your financial coaching primarily focus on businesses?
A little bit of both. My personal side, financial coaching, is more with getting people out of debt, getting them on a budget, getting them on a plan for the future, start developing tools to save for retirement and those aspects.
Where were you 30 years ago in my life?
Not a kindergarten, maybe, Griff.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. We're kind of not peers in the age era, but I keep forgetting. How did you get started on eBay?
All right. So first it was to complete collections. I said I sold sports cards, so I was a completionist. So for me, it was finding inserts that I needed and selling the duplicates that I had to make money to buy the inserts that I needed. Then recently, it was more about selling stuff around the house to help pay for my master's degree. Oh. And that's what we did. So we listed something on eBay recently about a few years ago. It sold in a couple of days and we were hooked again, selling everything we could find. And then we ventured into the whole reseller market.
Do you mind if I ask you what you were getting your master's for?
I got my MBA in financial planning.
Ah, that's why you're on the podcast. In this whole thing, how does your financial coaching fit in?
So interesting enough, it was right back when we got into eBay when I was doing my master's. So I saw it as a viable career, eBay as a viable career while I was in school. And we had our own debt-free journey, and that experience changed my direction of where I wanted to go in life. So it pivoted my trajectory towards financial coaching and financial planning. And so while I was ramping that up, we were also ramping up our eBay business at the same time. And I saw a lot of places where having a good solid foundation in financial planning would allow us and our business to grow as well and succeed.
So you're running two businesses then, eBay selling and your financial coaching. How do you balance these two?
Well, how does one really balance anything, I guess?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. It's
very carefully.
It's a mystery to me.
I see for me, it's a natural complement. They go together because it's business and I'm in sort of finance. So it kind of gels together. However, with scheduling, eBay is a 24/7 job. That's just the way it is. So what I try to do is I work on eBay during the day and I schedule my clients in the late afternoon and evening. So it kind of all balances out. But we do several other things as well. But eBay and coaching are my main jobs.
Now on the coaching end, do you primarily coach eBay sellers?
I have a good mix. So I do a lot of people who are looking to get out of debt or they have budgeting situations or they're just looking for a plan. So I work with a lot of single women who need accountability or single people who need accountability partners. So I'll work with them as well. With eBay sellers, I do work with quite a few. Most of them to come up with a budget and kind of, I do work with eBay and e-commerce sellers as well as those in the gig economy as well. Like the rideshare drivers and everything. Mm-hmm. Something that we do as well. So I'm kind of familiar with how the world works. I work with them on more in-depth topics rather than just budgeting and getting out of debt. So we'll work on growing the business. Being a top-rated seller myself, I can relate to the various pain points that sellers have and how to navigate through those.
Yeah. So part of the coaching just isn't—it's not just financial or even business planning. It's getting them through the waters of eBay's particular the specific rules and regulations and guidelines and how you become a good seller on eBay.
Yeah, it's taking them from a normal everyday seller to that next level business owner.
When we're talking to eBay sellers, and I know you see this as well, most of them do not think of themselves necessarily as businesses. They may be selling several thousand dollars a month, but they say, well, you know, I'm just a small little person and I'm just a little hobbyist. And they don't really seem to view their activity as a business. How important is it for an eBay seller who's selling regularly on the site, regardless of their volume, to start
right,
thinking themselves as a business?
Right, exactly. This is the first thing I stress to sellers I work with is that you are a business. If you sold an old shirt from your closet or you went out and bought something to resell, you're a business. So you have to start thinking like that. And when you start thinking like a business, your attitude changes because you're now a business owner. So you have a certain sort of aura around you now, right? Most people I've worked with have fallen into an eBay business or selling on eBay. They weren't planning on it. So they didn't sit down and write a comprehensive business plan and marketing plan to start selling on eBay. They just started selling. Mm-hmm. And so now they're sort of backing their way into things. If you sort of come at it as like your mindset is you're a business owner, you can initially tell that once you start talking to them that they own a business, their shoulders go back a little bit, their head pops up a little bit, they're more confident, and they're more willing to learn what it takes to succeed.
That's interesting. So the first visible consequence of starting to think of yourself as a business is a business posture, literally.
Correct.
That's amazing. How important is it for eBay sellers who are starting out to actually seek accounting or financial coaching? And I know that you provide this service, so it's a little bit of a bias, but you provide the service because people need it. How important is it to seek it out?
Yeah. So if I was on an episode earlier with you guys a few months ago, and I mentioned a phrase called Council of Elders. And that's a phrase I like to use with my clients is surround yourself with people who do things well that you don't do well. So I don't do accounting very well. I'm not a CPA. So I have a CPA that I talk to. I'm not an estate planning attorney or an attorney. So I have an attorney that I talk to. I don't pretend to know everything about the legal aspects. So that's why I'll seek them out. So you seek out people around you and surround yourself with people who do things well that you don't do well. That's what I call the Council of Elders, essentially, right? Right, speaking in sports terms, I know there's some people who may not get the analogy, but a financial coach is like the quarterback and you are the head coach. So you call in the play, you let the quarterback know what to do, and the quarterback or the financial coach coordinates with the other players on the field how to succeed in that play and get you where you need to go down the field to score a touchdown. So I'm sort of like the director, but you're the producer, you're the main guy. So you kind of tell me what you want it done, and I coordinate and get it done for you.
A lot of folks that we meet as well, they have some interest in growing or they're experiencing current pains with the workload that is necessary to sustain their volume. And I think to an outsider, it's a pretty clear solution, which is you got to hire someone. But that's always easier said than done. A lot of people are adverse to the idea of delegating, or they perceive that hiring someone could be way too expensive for their business. What do you tell these sellers when they say this?
So for hiring, it's in the right situation. Not everybody's equipped to hire. Not everybody needs to hire. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand that once you start to hire somebody or you initially hire, there's going to be some slide back or blowback in your business. What I mean by that is that you've taken on an extra expense to hire somebody, but you haven't generated the revenue to cover that person at that moment in time. So right. You will have a step back in your business, right? So you have to be prepared and insulated with that. Working with somebody like a financial coach down the line, you can prepare yourself for when you're ready to hire. You can see your projections, you can see your income and your revenue, and you know exactly where you're at. You also have to figure out what your capacity is. For example, I worked with one seller who listed about 20 items a week, and that was the most they could do. And they sold about $35,000 a year in revenue, not to be super math on the radio, but it's about $33 an item average price based on how many listings she had. That's not all her sales, all her sold, but 1,000 listings a year, $35,000, it's about $33 to $35 an item. She knew she wanted to go full time, but she also knew that she needed to like make a lot more money than that to go full time. So we pulled some money back from her revenue. We put some aside for the transition to go full time and also for her hiring expenses. In order to make sense and to pay somebody like an independent contractor or an employee, let's say you want to pay them like $100 a week, and let's use an independent contractor, for example. I know we'll get to that, the difference between an employee and independent contractor coming up, but let's use an independent contractor. You pay them $100 a week to take photos and develop your listings for you. Well, that equals about $5,200 a year. So she would need to sell an additional 150 items at her $33 an item average to cover the cost of just that employee or just that independent contractor. Now, the goal is you don't want to just sell extra things just to cover the cost of selling those extra things.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah.
So you have to then say, okay, after 150 sales, now I'm starting to churn a little bit. Now I can start seeing the results of that hire. And it exponentially increases. So for example, that 150 for the first hire doesn't necessarily mean when she gets to 300 additional items, she can hire person two. She may be able to hire person two when she gets to 225 items and then person three at 300 items. So it exponentially will increase her decision-making at that point. And that's something that we kind of go over and build into when I'm working with clients.
Now, you mentioned employee and independent contractor, and they are two different things. And I think a lot of people who aren't familiar with the difference think, well, I'm hiring an employee. I'm taking on a payroll. I've got to pay benefits. I've got to contribute to their Social Security, their FICA. This is a lot. What's the difference, though? There is a difference between employee and independent contractor.
There's a big difference. And I use the phrase cost versus control. So the more it costs and the more control you have. And employees cost a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're the most costly because you have the most control over them. You can tell them how, when, where, and how much of your tasks to complete in a specific time frame. The IRS will use what's called a control test to assess your business's tax liability. So if you are setting up an independent contractor and you tell them they have to be there at 8 a.m. and they have to do X amount of work at X amount of time at my location using my equipment, and you're dictating a lot of terms, well, you might have hired yourself an employee.
In the IRS's eye.
Oh, in the IRS's eye, for sure. Yeah. Even if you decide to pay them differently or you pay them with your 1099 as opposed to a W-2, come tax time, you may get hit big time for liability because you may have hired an employee without knowing it.
Yeah.
So essentially what happens is that independent contractors are individual sole proprietorship businesses as opposed to an employee. So when you hire somebody to, let's say, take photographs for you for your listing, you're hiring Griff as an independent contractor. Well, I'm hiring Griff's photography service. So you kind of set yourself up as a business. So when you do your own taxes, you take your 1099 and you file your own deductions and everything for the cost of doing that business, Griff's photography, which you got paid for from Joey to do listing photos for me. You have to provide your own equipment. You have to provide your own stuff. I give you the parameters of the job. I say, I need 100 photos this week. You can complete them in a week. You can complete them in a day. But that's the parameter I gave you. If I say, I need them by X amount of time, you have to use my camera at my location. That's what I was saying earlier. Then you start getting into trouble where you may be an employee. Now, there's lots of differences. There's federal differences and there's state differences. I personally am not versed in all of them. I would seek out your state labor department to just check to make sure all your bases are covered.
Sure.
Employees are covered by labor laws. Independent contractors are not. Again, hiring somebody who's an employee, you have strict protected classes and you know, there's lots of stuff going on there. With an independent contractor, you could be as, I guess, as biased as you want to be. They're not covered by labor laws. So they're not protected per se.
And this is a big story in the news right now.
It is very big, especially in California with the gig economy and the drivers who are trying to make sure that they're maybe employees because they're told where to go, when to go, how much they're paid, what to wear, how to keep their vehicles in certain situations, and how to conduct their job. So there's a fine line between who's an employee and who's not in that situation.
So for an eBay seller, where cost, especially a small seller, where cost may be a huge concern, stepping into the hiring of people to help with your business, a first step is not maybe to think about hiring an employee, but to think about contracting out with a contractor, private contractor, to do specific work.
Correct. And I know there's a lot of people who have used virtual assistants to do some work. You set up a parameters. Like I said earlier, I need descriptions on these 50 items, or I need these things photographed, or these item specifics built for me, and you give them a specific there. Yeah, the first step would be finding, like I said, your capacity earlier. Like, how much am I able to do? What can I not do? And how can that person help me do what I can't do?
Tell us about the importance of processes and procedures and how we can measure return on these, moving our business up.
I look at this as, are you getting your desired results and at what cost, right? So a process is the big picture. It's all the elements, the main elements of your business. The procedures, they take those elements and they add things to them, like responsibilities and objectives and how to get things done.
Yeah.
So we sell to make money. So I'll draw up a sample revenue process, and it's obviously a lot visual, but I'll try to do my best to describe it on the radio here. So you have a sale, and your sale leads to pulling the inventory, which leads to shipping, which leads to collecting money, which leads to then taking that money and depositing it. So that's your revenue process. Mm-hmm. All those steps that I've discussed, those are the procedures to get the revenue done, from getting the sale to getting the money in your bank. All those things in between are the procedure. Do you have a way that you do each of those? Is there a way you can improve on those? For example, if you are not a top-rated seller because you have a shipping defect, because you're not shipping out on time a certain amount, that's a part of your process that could be improved. And by improving that, you will see better results because you'll get your money faster, or you get discounts because you're top-rated. So there's definitely consequences to not having the processes refined. And if you're having problems in your business, let's say pulling inventory or shipping on time, that's where you can go in and maybe see, I need help in this area. I need to hire somebody or bring somebody in to help me with my shipping or to help me get stuff to the post office on time.
And you can do that within an independent contractor.
Correct. Yeah.
Again, it's just not controlling. You set up a proposal of the work that needs to be done over a period of time, and you're not controlling their every hour or assigning them tasks by the hour.
Right. So let's say the shipping aspect, I'll say I have all my stuff out by 8 o'clock. They need to be at the post office by 5, and they can drop it off at 8:02. They can drop it off at 4:59.
This is making sense to me now. So
yeah. So right. You can't really tell them I need it. But you could say I want it by noon, and then you're sort of putting parameters on it, and then you sort of start getting into that murky area.
But as long as you're not, it's not a regular part of the job where you're overseeing everything they do.
Correct. And like I said earlier, you're contracting out with Griff's Photography, right?
Sure.
To take my photo listings. So I contract with you. You are a separate business, quote unquote, business entity that I contracted with. So then therefore, you may be able to set up another IC agreement with Tom's Photography to take the photos for you to give to me. I have no control over Tom because I've never met Tom, but Tom's taking the photos for you and then you're sending them to me because I can't tell you. I don't want anybody else taking the photos but you.
Yes, there you go. This is now even
Yeah, now it gets even further into murkiness and craziness. Yeah.
Well, nothing's ever cut and dried, and that's true in business as well, but don't let that stop you. If you believe you need assistance, as we heard from our previous guest, the first step is just to take that step and take a deep breath and and either hire an independent contractor. It could be a high school kid. It could be anyone. But, you know, get the help so your business can take off. Joey, before we close out, do you have anything to add?
I do, actually. Remember that you're a business, okay? Have that mindset like I talked about earlier. Make sure you surround yourself with people who do things that you don't do or who do things that you don't want to do. And make sure that they're available to teach you how to do those things so you're always learning, okay? I'm happy to talk to anyone that has any questions about, you know, working with a coach or has any further questions about what a coach might be able to do for them in their business. Like you said, my website is jrfinancialcoaching.com. I'm available on social media, Facebook, Instagram, email, website, wherever you can find me. So if you reach out to me and you use promo code podcast, you get a free consultation and we'll talk further on about how I can help you out and how we can take your business to the next level. Always looking to help sellers succeed. So just reach out to me. And if you have a quick question about something, I'm always available and looking to help you guys out.
Joey, I'd say that was an offer that they'd be foolish to refuse. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for the promo code. So if you're interested, again, I'll repeat this. It's jrfinancialcoaching.com. And just enter the discount code for podcast and you'll get a free consultation. Hey, got nothing to lose and everything to gain.
So I'm Italian, so it's an offer they can't refuse, right?
Yeah, there you go. Joey, thank you so much for stopping by. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Griff.
We've been speaking with Joey Ruffalo. Joey is a financial planner and coach, and he's an eBay seller. Again, one more time, jrfinancialcoaching.com. Check it out. Coming up next, we'll take your calls and questions. Doug, I was serious last week. I think I'm going to really write a jingle.
All right, good. This is good.
Yeah, I haven't settled on what it will be. I think last week was a little so snarky.
Okay.
Questions. We've got questions. You've got questions. We don't care.
Oh, right. We care.
I'm just being snarky.
We enjoy your questions.
You know I have a snarky bone in my body.
I do.
So.
Snarkos.
Yeah, that's my name.
The fabled Isle of Snarkos.
That's it.
Where the Snarkians live.
He's referring to my Instagram account. It's yes. Snarkos. Well, it's time for your questions again, and we have three this week. No, actually, we have two this week that we've selected, and we're going to reverse roles because Doug really wants to answer some questions. So,
yes.
Make it speedy, Doug. You know, you have this pace issue.
I will do my best.
Right. So I'll read them.
This
is from the community feedback form.
Yes.
Anonymous asks, talk about snark. Listen to this. As you pay no attention to user comments anyway, why are you pushing this survey on me? I guess you guys are in the community team have put out a survey.
Yes, we do have a survey that pops up periodically.
So Anonymous feels left out and has said, why are you doing this? You don't even pay attention to this.
Well, I'm happy to take this one, Griff. I can't help someone who is anonymous. And I did see the comment and feedback, obviously, but if only there was a username, maybe I could help them. So they went to this effort to post this comment, but not their question.
Mm.
You know, as far as the survey itself, it's valuable. It helps us measure how the community is doing, helps us tell if people are getting help. Where have they gone for help? Where would they go for help if the community didn't help them? It gives them a chance to leave feedback on the community experience and obviously a chance to comment and ask a question. So Anonymous, I hope you're listening, but I guess the challenge is Griff, do you think maybe there's more than one Anonymous? I mean, how is Anonymous going to know if we're talking to that Anonymous?
We're talking to the legions of Anonymous.
Anonymi?
And they're all saying, he's strumming my pain with his fingers. He's singing my
one
life
time.
Of his words, right?
All right, Anonymous, I hope that answers your question, but we did see your comment.
Good. Okay. So then our next question is from MS Bahai, and MS Bahai asks, why is it so hard to find information on how to file a FedEx insurance claim? Doug?
Yes. Well, MS Bahai, I was able to find this via Google, but I'm not going to send you to Google to search for how to find a FedEx insurance claim, which is what I did. Once again, I'm not going to tell you to go to google.com and enter how to file a FedEx insurance claim in Google. But honestly, Google's an amazing resource even for eBay stuff. If you don't want to search eBay, you can search Google, and a lot of times the eBay results will come up, and usually it's a result from our wonderful community.
Yeah, and you did find it.
I did find it. So anyway, Emeshabai, you would go to fedex.com/en-us/customer-support/claims.html. And the first step is to complete the online claim form to start a claim. Step two is to add supporting documentation now or after you file, apparently. And then step three is to submit your online claim form. So it's a pretty easy process, but you might probably just want to go to Google and search for how to file a FedEx insurance claim, and the link will be right there at the top of the page for you to click.
Are you familiar with the website? Let me Google that for you.
No.
You're not?
I Google everything.
Though. Well, so there's a website that you can actually go to visit.
Right.
And you can put in a search term, and then it gives you a link you can share on social media. So like if you're on Facebook or something and someone says, employees of eBay would never do this. We're much too professional.
But yes.
If somebody says like, how do I find out information about how to file a claim on FedEx?
Okay.
And you give them the link and it says, let me Google that for you. It takes them to Google and it types in the words and brings them to the page. Yeah, so it's like teach a man to fish with a little snark.
That's right. That's right.
A snark is a tiny little fish with a little sharp pointed nose.
And a lot of attitude.
Right. And you're swimming in the water and it like stabs your ankles.
Oh. Well, right. That's stealing your moves.
That's right. Well, Doug, I think that's all the time we have for fun this week.
All right.
So this was this week's question time. We'll have more of your questions next week, if you like. Remember, you can submit questions by phone at 888-723-4630. That's 888-723-4630. Or email at podcast@ebay.com or via the feedback submission form on the eBay for Business podcast community page, which you can find at www.ebay.com/podcast. Look for the link in the lovely mustard yellow box. Coming up next, our concluding segment. And that's our show for this week. Hey, Liz, nice job.
Thanks, Griff. I really enjoyed being a host with you.
Same here, but I believe Doug is back next week.
As is Alan. But you'll be back from vacation as well.
Shh, that's a secret. They don't know I was gone.
Oh, right. Sorry. Mum's the word. So who's up for next week, Griff?
Well, first, Liz, next week will be a podcast episode number 50. Can you believe it?
50? Are you joking? No, no way.
That's it.
That is amazing.
I know.
Do you know, it only seems like yesterday we were recording number one.
I know, but it seems that way, but it was actually a year ago.
Whoa. I actually didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to the team. Here is to 100 episodes. And most importantly, here's to the listeners.
Yeah. 100, here we come. And the theme for next week on our 50th show is going to be the best version of you.
Oh, how apt is that?
I love it.
I love it. Yeah. And we'll have a special roster of guests as usual who can expand on the topic. But in the meantime, while you're waiting for us to hit show number 100, don't forget our number.
That's right. You can join the fun here on eBay for Business anytime. You can be a part of the show when you call us at 888-723-4630. That's 888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave your question or comment. And if it's appropriate, we just might put it on the air.
Or you can email your question to us at podcast@ebay.com, podcast@ebay.com.
And don't forget to attend a local meetup. As you know by now, if you listen to this podcast, at eBay Seller Meetups, you can share tips, stories, some beverage, some nosh, some insights, and even a little gossip with your fellow eBay sellers. And who knows, per today's show, you might even find a potential employee or contractor to help you grow your business.
Or a mentor.
Oh, yes, or a mentor. You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time. And to find those, you can go to facebook.com/eBay for Business.
And that's our show for this week. Liz, do you see that crank over there?
What's a crank?
You see that crank?
You mean this one?
That's the very one.
What does that do?
Well, give it a tug and we'll see what it does.
Oh, look at that. It's the credits.
That's right. Now, would you start reading them? Since this is radio and it's not video and people can't see them.
Oh, right. I'm such a rookie. Of course.
You're learning.
The eBay podcast team, director of community, is Brian Beck.
And co-host and correspondent back at his desk, Alan Aisbitt.
Chief Executive Associate, co-producer and punster, how about that title? Punster Deluxe, Doug Smith.
Marketing strategist and this week's sparkling co-host du jour, Liz Austin.
Editor-in-chief and host, you, Griff.
My pleasure. eBay for Business is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. We'll see you next week.